This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today and welcome you into the Retirement Route with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. Find out more about them at MatthewJames.com. You can also give them a call, 366-8366. Once again, that's 366-8366. My name is Chris Swan. Today on the show, is it possible to trade in an annuity for another and why it's not a good idea to invest with your emotions? All this and more. But first, let's go and kick off with this. The Biden administration, they're proposing a new rule that it says is going to raise the bar for financial professionals who give advice, investment advice to savers in 401ks and IRAs. It would close loopholes in current laws that allow advisors to recommend investments that aren't in a client's best interest, but may provide a higher commission to those advisors. Isn't this something that you guys already practice, this higher standard when it comes to your clients?
Well, yeah, I mean, we focus on higher standards. And just keep in mind, anytime you hear, you know, when things start off with the Biden administration, doesn't mean, you know, it's always the best. So we're seeing how everything's going, you know, there too. But bottom line is that we got to look at what's the right thing for the consumer, what's suitable, what is the purpose of, you know, what we're trying to invest in and help them invest in. So some of the key things that we got to look at is the rule is allowing opportunities for basically advice for non-securities products, which means they're typically high commission products. Could be a commodity, could be an insurance type product within a 401k going to an IRA. So we have to look at that and seeing, okay, look, there's things that I don't believe in. I don't think that's suitable. And we have to, you know, measure things and look at, okay, how can that, you know, hurt someone's financial future because of maybe the restrictions or the lack of liquidity, those kind of things. So, I mean, everybody's in a different situation, but we do see a lot of people that are in the industry that make recommendations, you know, mostly because of their financial compensation gain out of it, which I think is bad because mm-hmm. you see a lot of negative repercussions for the consumers in the future with that.
You know, I think everyone out there is familiar, at least with the Hippocratic Oath when it comes to the medical field. First, do no harm. You know, to always do right by the patient. If a doctor did not abide by that, and if they went, you know, first do no harm unless I'm getting a good kickback from this company or that company, you'd probably be wary of them. And it's the same sort of thing when it comes to your finances. You want to go ahead and make sure that, you know, you've got someone that's acting in your best interest and not in the best interest of company X, Y, or Z. That is what you get at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, and it is something that, you know, based on what this administration is currently trying to pass, is going to be more tightened. You know, you're going to find more of that in the future if this passes. But something to go ahead and lay your fears to bed right now, that is what John Blanchard and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they've been doing, you know, since the inception. So keep that in mind when you sit down and speak with them, acting in your best interest. 366-8366 is the number, or MatthewJames.com is the website. We often talk about increasing income in retirement to account for inflation. Ron Barron of Barron's Magazine, he looks to the stock market when it comes to that growth.
Everything doubles in price every 14 or 15 years. And the way you can hedge against that is you can invest in the market, which goes up about 10% a year. So the way I think about it is the investments that I have are investments for the long term in businesses where I think we're going to double our money. Instead of in 10 years, we're going to try to double our money every 5 years.
Now, trying to double your money every 5 years sounds like that would come with a lot of risk, John. Are there other solutions to keeping up with inflation?
Yeah, look, ideally, it's a matter of looking at, you know, what, you know, actually what's real inflation, because the government's publishing one thing and we're actually seeing another. So we're seeing a lot across a lot of different industries. There's a lot of different inflation costs compared to, you know, what we were paying for those goods and services back in 2019. So ideally, we have to make sure we're outpacing inflation, but we have to look at, you know, where are we placing our money? What are the risk components with it? You know, just thinking, okay, let me put it in the market and I can outpace inflation. I mean, right now there's, you know, that magical seven is really what's giving the yield where people are seeing the growth in the S&P 500 this year. But the thing is, we got to look at, you know, strategies. We have to look at a tactical way of managing things and looking at opportunities as far as, okay, what can pay a high dividend? What is the maybe the risk with it, the liquidity with it? We have to look at how to use tactical strategies that get in and out of the market on a timely basis, basically looking at data to understand when it's appropriate to hold, when it's time to sell, and when it's time to repurchase. So we have to look at these things and figure out, okay, what is suitable for you? What is the purpose of your money? We got to look at making it work for you over the long haul. But the key thing is that whenever you're pulling money money from your investment accounts and you're seeing these negative 10, negative 15, negative 23, negative 38% returns mm-hmm. on an annual basis, and you're withdrawing money, that shortens the lifespan of your portfolio. So what we have to do is create strategies, create a plan, an investment plan, where we have limited negative drag in your portfolio. Now, this is for the retiree. Now, you might be somebody that's trying to accumulate wealth, and so you're going more risk on. So ideally, it's just understanding your risk tolerance for your age. What's the purpose? What's the goal? Are you trying to play catch up? Are you way ahead of schedule? So we have to look at all these things. I mean, for some people, they might have enough money that they're making 4 or 5% every year with no principal issues. Then, you know, that's suitable for them. They're not really worried about inflation that much because that could be temporary. Now, we got to look at what's also happening with the market. If Jerome Powell caves in and drops our interest rates significantly, we're going to have a reverse market crash. And so there's a lot of economists that have been talking about this, looking at other countries around the world on how that affected them. I mean, most people would say, well, America would never get in that position. Well, we have to look at the position that we're in today with the amount of debt that we have, the need for another $1.7 trillion that they're talking about printing. We have to look at the fact that the market didn't buy bonds last week. And so not like a couple of days ago, I'm talking last week. And so that's something that we have to look at as well is, you know, the government's the market's not saying, okay, government, these 30 years paying 5%, that's not good enough. You know, the government's looking at what they need to do, and we got to look at the negative repercussions of printing money. That's, you know, obviously create more inflation. But if they also drop interest rates, what's that going to do to pricing? What's it going to do that to pricing of the stock market? Where you think okay, the market's going to go up, but really there's going to be a lot of people in lower class and lower middle class that are going to be significantly impacted because the inflation's killing them, the potential loss of jobs. And then the fact of the cost of entry into the markets could be high. So the rich get even richer in that scenario, and the others kind of get left behind. And so we have to study what happens in other countries on how a negative market crash affected them. And, you know, it's all about looking at being tight. You know, I would say do a personal audit mm-hmm. of your finances. Look at what you're spending money on your credit card statement or your checking account statement. Are those $4 and $7 subscriptions necessary? You know, maybe all the extra things that we buy when we go to the stores. Hey, look, I'm guilty too. Okay, even though I talk about money, there's things that I buy that, like, even my staff jokes like, John, you were social media shopping again today. Like, you know, you see something cool and you get it because you want to give it to your kid or whatever. But look, I'm guilty of some of the same things, and I have to, okay, let me go back and pull back the reins just like anybody should and build your emergency fund. Have your emergency fund if you're a business owner. You know, we never know when things are going to get tight.
You know, that saying goes, hope for the best, plan for the worst. You know, inflation is always going to be a factor, and market volatility is always going to be a factor too. So you're going to need some growth potential, but also you don't want all of your money tied to the market, because while doubling your money every 5 years sounds great, having your money cut in half in a 12-month period is considerably worse, and would affect your retirement prospects even more. So finding that right blend, it's not to say you should have all of your money in the market or all of your money out of the market. The answer is going to vary from person to person, and that starts finding that right number. It starts with sitting down with someone who can help you crunch the numbers and figure out what's going to work best for you in your retirement. You and your retirement, that's what matters the most. Acadiana's retirement strategist John Blanchard can help you with that. You just need to take the first step, give a call, and start developing that plan to weather whatever storms may lie ahead. 366-8366 is the phone number. It's 366-8366. You can also go to the website, which is matthewjames.com. Higher interest rates have slowed down home sales, according to creditkarma.com. 67% said they would delay their plans to move until mortgage rates go down. Here's economist Anthony Chan on Fox Business.
I believe that the Federal Reserve did their last tightening in July, and they're probably not going to raise rates again. It's only a 15% probability, if you look at the futures market, that they'll raise rates again one more time by January of next year. And by the middle of the year, all expectations are that the Fed will cut rates, which will be beneficial for housing.
Now, many people getting ready to retire, they actually look to downsize their home, but that might not make sense if you upsize your mortgage in the process. How would you talk through that decision with a client?
Yeah, look, ideally, if you can, you know, sell the property itself and, you know, buy the new one and pay cash, that would, you know, you're not worrying about that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people that I've been talking to, and they were looking at buying a new home, even younger people. And the fact of them paying the interest rates that they currently are, because we've been used to such a low interest rate environment, you know, over the last, let's just call it decade. and you know, turning around decade plus and then turn around and having to pay double or triple that amount. That kind of makes tough, you know, that's a tough decision. But obviously, you know, like our parents talking about where, well, you know, when I was your age, my interest rate on my mortgage was, you know, 14%. Now, we talked about this reverse market crash potential, but other countries, there was other countries that their interest rate on their loan was 200%. So think about financing a house at 200%. You'll never be right side up, never. And so the thing is, it's like you got to look at – let's look at other countries. I was in Jamaica beginning of last year, I think it was. And so the tour guide was talking about how the local Jamaicans, when they build their house, they do it with cash. So they save. They build a portion of it. They have a lot of – you know, when you drive around, you see a lot of unfinished houses because none of them are financing it. They believe that they should own it outright. They don't get into any debt on their homes. And so they just build a little bit. Now look, whenever, you know, Americans, we build houses, we don't have to fully furnish every single room that we're not even using. So people, you know, spend money on rooms that aren't even going to be used at all, you know, for a certain period of time. And so ideally, you got to look at, you know, where you're spending money. But if you can put yourself in a position to where you could, you know, pay cash for a home, ideally, that'd be great. In the worst case scenario, just try to finance it for a 10 to 15 year loan. Now, granted, you have to be able to cash flow that mortgage. Hopefully, you're not financing a whole bunch. But, you know, we have to look at the market on how it stands today and interest rates and how, you know, how much interest you'll pay in the future. I mean, you can, you know, Google or go into Yahoo and type in a mortgage calculator and see how much interest you would pay with these current rates and have a, you know, backup, have a different game plan on saving even more money, putting even more money down. So you're financing very minimal. And so for people that are, you know, retiring, instead of them, you know, getting into a new mortgage, if, you know, they set things up where they can, you know, take the, you know, the proceeds from the sale of their maybe current home and they're trying to downsize, maybe they're downsizing from a square foot, but they might be upsizing on a quality, you know, price per square foot, may have it having, you know, nicer features, maybe being closer into town, you know, all these, you know, there's a whole bunch of different scenarios. But ideally, it's just setting yourself up to where you're not having to finance, and that'd be great. It just takes, you know, planning. But if you plan on paying cash for a home, is where you're taking the cash from, how will that cash be taxed when it's liquidated to, or if you are liquidating it to pay for the house. So we just have to look at the metrics, look at the math and see, okay, what's the best decision? Sometimes it makes sense to go ahead and take it out of the IRA. But we have to look at, you know, if you're financing it for a 30-year period at, you know, let's say 7.25% interest, looking at the interest that you would pay over time and the taxes you have to pay pulling the money out of the IRA, might have made sense to take the money out of the IRA. But we have to put the pencil to it to make the best decision.
Do the numbers work out in your favor? You know, what are the actual numbers, the actual cost? You know, when you take out a 30-year mortgage, what is that going to cost in the long run? If you are pulling the money out to pay in cash, what are the tax implications for that? What is the true cost? Again, it's something that obviously you're not going to go into, you know, lightly, just casually just go, oh, I just went and bought a house today. You're going to want to sit down and speak with someone beforehand. Acadiana's retirement strategist, the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you out with that. Just make that call and see how it factors into your retirement plan. 366-8366. Now, hundreds of thousands of couples, they get divorced every year, including many retirees. So I have to imagine this question comes up a lot. Are you eligible for your ex's Social Security benefits? The devil's in the details is what I'm venturing to guess here, John. Can you walk somebody through this, through something this complex and how it would fit into their retirement picture?
Yeah, ideally. You'd have to at least be married for 10 years or longer to be able to be eligible for it. You're unmarried, and then you have to be 62 and older. So that's the key things that you have to look at. You know, so where you have an entitlement on getting your benefits off of your ex-spouse. And so ideally, we just have to look at, okay, number one, do you fit those three criteria? You know, if it's, you know, sometimes it's an age thing, well, then you have to wait. But if you get married, then that, okay, that becomes a problem. And then, but then if you marry, you know, marriage didn't last 10 years, then you're obviously not eligible for it. So, you know, we want to make sure people are well aware on their eligibility, on when they can get benefits. And even if they're not in that scenario, or when they should take benefits. So there's so many mathematical ways of calculating a time period when you should start collecting Social Security. We just have to factor in all the different key aspects. If you're married, if you're single, what are your other sources of income? Are you trying to do tax mitigation planning, aka Roth conversion? So we have to look at all these different metrics to figure that out, and along with your health. You know, what's the lifespan of your parents? Are your parents still alive? Because mathematically, if you think you're going to pass away before the age of 82, ideally take it at 62. You're going to get more money that way. But if you live beyond 83, it's best to take it at full retirement age or after. So we just have to look at all the different scenarios, if you're working or not working. Because if you take it early at 62, that you could witness a triple reduction in your account value. So number one is you're taking a 30% haircut off your full retirement age benefit. Mm-hmm. Number two is that if you're making over $21,240 a year, you're going to get a reduction in your Social Security benefit. And then number three is that if your provisional income crosses over a certain income limit, if you're married or if you're single, then you're going to see 85 of your Social Security benefit go back on your tax return to get re-taxed again. So ideally, it's all about the math. It's all about the details. It's all about the what-if scenarios. And so once we figure out your situation, we can figure out, okay, what's the best option for you and your household?
You know, we talk all the time about how there's hundreds upon hundreds of ways to claim Social Security. And, you know, this just adds another wrinkle in creating figuring out the right time for you to claim. The break-even point, obviously, that is something to take into consideration. When are you going to be able to get the most benefit out of it? It's something that you paid in for, after all, so you're certainly entitled to it. But, you know, if you do need the income beforehand, there's obviously a lot of argument to be made for claiming before full retirement age or waiting until, you know, 70, things like that. And it's a good time to go ahead and remind you this is not something that the people at the Social Security office are equipped or even allowed to give you advice on. They're there to process the paperwork and send you on your way. It's obviously not as speedy as that. We all know that. But you want to sit down beforehand. You want to develop that strategy ahead of time and figure out how it factors into your retirement portfolio, how to make sure that you're not, you know, if at all possible, being retaxed on it and having to give that money back. It's something that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with. They help you create that as part of your overall retirement picture. 366-8366 is that first step to creating that picture, painting that picture. 366-8366. Online, MatthewJames.com. The demand for annuities has soared thanks to higher interest rates, which is good news for people who bought variable annuities before 2021. Those are keeping up with inflation. But for people who bought a fixed annuity at a lower rate, they're not singing the same tune. They're not reaping the benefits. John, is there a way they can trade their annuity in for a new one? And is that even something that you would recommend?
Yeah, so I mean, every situation is different, and it's not all about being inside of annuity. It just depends on what's the purpose and why you're in there. Is it for a bond alternative investment? You know, something that for principal preservation. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever people have it for guaranteed income, then that's when I kind of squawk at that because I just don't like the way the math works under the hood. But what you can do, there's a lot of them out there that were issued at in the low interest rate environment. So whenever that happens, these insurance companies, you know, from a profitability standpoint, they can't afford to give you a high fixed account or a high cap on the S&P or a high participation rate. So we review these and we look at them and find out that a lot of these accounts are offering very, very low upside potential. And so what happens is you can actually refinance these accounts. And so looking at, you know, maybe the same carrier with or looking at a new carrier, I say carrier, I mean, in other words, a company, a custodian that houses another insurance company where they can actually refinance that business and give you a higher interest rate. And so we have to look at what is suitable for the consumer because sometimes you might incur a surrender charge. But what happens is there is, you know, depending on the entry valuation of that new account, then what happens is you could be moving over your asset without a lost dollar. You could actually be coming out ahead of schedule. And so we just have to look at the math and how it works in your favor and looking at, okay, let's say over a 5, 6, 7, 10 year time frame, how much interest you would gain by switching over because you have a higher fixed account, you have a higher cap strategy on S&P or a higher participation rate strategy as well. So we just have to look at the math and see, okay, what's valid, what's suitable for you, what makes the best sense mathematically, and then from there we can make a decision on which route to go. And that's the key thing that we look at doing is just looking at the math and seeing, okay, what's suitable. And so there's a lot of people that have a lot of different things out there that aren't even making any money. They've been having it for 6, 7, 8 years and or even less, and then the return that they've had over that period of time is maybe 2 to 3, 4% total, sometimes 5, maybe a little bit more, where they could be getting a higher a yield on an annual basis on a positive market, depending on which strategy you deploy your investment in. So ideally, look, if it's suitable for you, if it should stay in it, if it's the right thing, we just look at the math and give you our recommendation on what you could do, how you can exit, doing it without cost, where you're having a net loss in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're looking for an assessment, we can do that for you at no cost. Just give our office a call, and we can run an annuity assessment and see if, okay, can you exit? Can you refinance it? Can you get a higher rate elsewhere? Those are the things that we look at our firm, what our strategist, the other specialists in our office look at, and they compute and figure out, okay, what's the best opportunity for you for the future of that particular investment, and what is the purpose of it?
It's all about running the numbers and figuring out what's going to work best for you. Probably something I know personally I'm not equipped to do on my own, but Acadiana's retirement strategist and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with that. See if it is worth, you know, pivoting out of it or in another direction altogether. Here's the number to keep in mind to help, so that they can help run the numbers for you. 366-8366. That's 366-8366. Jesus Trejo is a fast-rising name on the comedy scene. He's appeared on all the late-night TV shows. In addition to being a stand-up at age 36, Trejo also has another job. He's a caregiver for his parents, who are in their 70s.
The biggest challenge for me as a caregiver definitely has been, you know, trying to juggle everything. If you're a parent, you know this story. It's like, you got to do this. Sometimes, you know, you put things on hold because, you know, your kid's sick or your life doesn't allow you to put wiggle room in your schedule, but you do the best you can. I learned to communicate and let people know that, hey, I'm a caregiver. Like, I'm sorry I canceled this thing, or I'm sorry I can't go to this thing, or I'm sorry I'm late. I do have some responsibilities at home, and I think 9 times out of 10, people are understanding, but it is a big, big challenge.
Now, sometimes, you know, the situation pivots where it's now the kids taking care of the parents. Do you have aging clients who have loved ones as caregivers or adult children who take care of their parents? And if so, how does this change the retirement picture?
Yeah, look, this is something that, you know, some people either are currently witnessing, they witness from afar, and some people hope they never get into it. But obviously, this is something that we can't control. And we got to look at how do you handle it emotionally, but how you also handle it financially. And so we have, like on our street, we have 3 different companies that provide labor, provide caregivers in the form of nurses and other staff people to help, you know, people in need. And obviously there's a cost associated with it, because whenever, you know, maybe you're still in your career and your parent needs help and it's requiring you to take time off your job or maybe stop working, then that, you know, that could take a financial toll on your household. But in having, you know, money set aside or earmark assets, or maybe even having like a long-term care strategy, a long-term care plan, where that money could be used to fund the care of that individual. Or maybe, you know, you're thinking, okay, what if I become in that position? I don't want my kids to have to take off of work to take care of me. But we also have to look at financially, how does that work? We want to make sure that you keep access and control of your investments. You don't, you know, have an extreme liquidation over a short time period, because typically, you know, whenever people are needing that kind of care, their lifespan's probably between 2 and 5 years. Now, also, if you have, you know, cognitive, issues or history in your family, that's something we have to look at, because let's say if you have dementia or something like that, you know, we've seen people that need help for 7+ years, and looking at how that could be, you know, a financial burden for any household or any family trying to cash flow that. Mm-hmm. So you never know the situation. So the best thing to do is, like, while you have, you know, while you can plan for it, you have the money that you can earmark and allocate to, you're healthier, you're younger, it's cheaper. Maybe you should look at doing some advanced planning from a healthcare standpoint on, you know, any kind of like long-term care, maybe facility or in-home care needs, because you got to look at, you know, what's your quality of life and what kind of, you know, what funds do you have are providing that quality of life, where maybe you could stay at your home instead of having to go to a facility where you're in an environment that you're comfortable with, you're clean with, your family can go and come, there's no time restrictions, there's no weird odors, it's your place. And ideally, we just have to look at the math and see, okay, which way we can plan for it, because we have to cover all aspects of life. We have to look at doing proper estate planning, tax planning, investment planning, income planning, healthcare planning. All these things make a difference. And even, you know, we refer people out for their homeowners insurance and their auto insurance, making sure that you're paying the correct premiums and you have the adequate coverage in that standpoint as well. So we have to look at everything holistically to put everything together.
You know, because there are so many factors that come into play in retirement, as John pointed out, taxes, income, healthcare, and neglecting to take one of them into account can jeopardize the quality of the other one. So you do need that holistic approach. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, as people are living longer and longer, that's a great thing. Obviously, that is a great thing. But with that comes the probability increasing of needing some form of assistance. Now, what is that going to take into account? It's going to vary from person to person. And how is that going to be handled is also going to vary from person to person. But you have to bear in mind, you know, relying entirely on your family, while certainly a noble thing to do, there are costs in addition to that, aside from what you would save for proper planning. So taking that into account, figuring out the option that's going to work best for you, again, for you is what matters the most in your retirement. It's a conversation. It's a delicate conversation. I understand that, but it is one I think certainly worth having to avoid a lot of emotional heartache and perhaps some resentment from various family members, you know, amongst each other or what have you down the line. 366-8366 is how you have that conversation, have that holistic approach taken to your retirement to make sure that all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. 366-8366. Now, when it's time to withdraw money for retirement, it can come from a variety of accounts. You might be pulling from taxable accounts, tax-deferred accounts, tax-free accounts. John, how do you help decide, you know, which way that clients can boost their after-tax income the most? How does this equation change also, you know, for couples?
I mean, depending on, you know, I mean, if you're a married couple, if you're a single filer, income planning with tax planning, that marriage, that combination of how to create a strategy to lower your tax bill is ideal, because what happens is whenever you get to control how much you get to withdraw from each type of account, you can lower your tax liability. Because, you know, Social Security is tax-free until a certain dollar amount of money is collected from different sources. So what we do is if we can control those different sources. Now, ideally, if you have a pension that's greater than $22,000 a year, you'll never be in a 0% tax rate. It's not going to happen mathematically. I wish I could tell you different, but it's not. So what we look at is how much we can control withdrawals out of IRAs, how much capital gains can we realize, how much in dividends can we realize, how much income that we can pull from a Roth, those kind of things. So we have to look at the math and all those different scenarios and figure out, okay, what is the best situation for you? What's your needs? But also, do you need to do any aggressive Roth conversions between this year and 2024 and 2025, because we're in the last 3 years of the Trump tax cuts. You know, even let's say if he does win next year, there's no guarantee if the rates will stay the same. The government is in a financial pickle, and we have to pay attention to that, because we're always told when you go into retirement, your tax rates could be lower, so therefore, because your income's going to be lower. So the thing is, that's not true anymore. You know, that was true prior to them placing a tax rate on Social Security. And what happened was, before Social Security was getting taxed, you would actually, in our tax environment today, if your income is, let's say, below $110,000 combined, you're experiencing the full 12% tax rate. Well, the problem is that if you're collecting Social Security, a lot of that money is being taxed at 22%. Well, that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at where the income's coming from, how to control it if possible, and then, you know, because you could do more planning before you're having to take RMDs. Once you take RMDs, there's limited things that we can do, especially if RMDs very sizable. And I say very sizable, like more than $22,000 a year. Some people that that are clients of ours, their RMD, they don't do anything, it's gonna be about $150,000 a year. Now look, that's a big thing, because they don't need the money, but it's an awesome thing to show how much money they collectively, you know, invested over the time, and they did well with it. But a lot of those people also, when I talk to, they go back and look at what their contributions were with their employer plan and IRAs. They wish they would have had opportunities to put money in the Roth in that same time period. Pay the tax on it now, let it compound and grow. So ideally, while we have tax rates that are on sale, let's look at doing some tax mitigation planning, look at doing some advanced planning. If you're a business owner, there's a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of opportunities with real estate. We have to look at at, you know, even maybe even using oil and gas as an investment where you can get a tax deduction there. That could help offset a Roth conversion. Maybe you're looking at doing some charitable giving. Let's use that charitable giving as a tax deduction to help move money from an IRA to a Roth. So we just have to look at the grand scope of, number one, how much money you have, what's your age, what and what parameters or what different opportunities we have to help you to figure, okay, does this fulfill a need for you?
Here we are, in November, Thanksgiving, the holidays and things like that. We've got about a month left for this year. So as far as tax planning for this year, the window is closing. And then there is another window closing in 2 years at the end of 2025. That is the expiration of the Trump tax cuts, when that is going to sunset. And it's going to, if nothing happens, if they don't make any changes or extend it, which, again, $33 trillion in national debt, I'm not sure if that's possible or feasible. Taxes at that point are going to revert to the previous administration. At the very least, that is a tax increase. So now is the time. Literally, there's no time like the present to look at, tax mitigation strategies, making sure that you get to keep as much of your money as possible. And the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with that. Tax and Wealth Management, right there in the name. Go to MatthewJames.com to schedule a time to speak with them, or you can give a call right now and set up a time as well, 366-8366. John, you've told us that as interest rates go up, bond values, they go down. Somewhere along the line, probably not until into 2024, interest rates will start to move down. Are bonds coming back in favor? And if so, how long will it take for that to happen, do you think?
Yeah, look, potentially there's some areas where, bonds would maybe make sense. We just have to look at what's going to happen with the Fed. What is Jerome Powell going to do? What is the, what is the moves that he's going to make? And so, we need to have stability, once we can make sure we can buy them, but also look at other alternatives. What could be done for that same purpose while you're putting the money in there? What strategies can be used to provide the income and keep the principal together? Because most people get into bonds because they look at, okay, number one, income and stability of that target price of what you put the money in. So ideally, we have to look at what all our other alternatives are out there, what other strategies can be used that have that same functionality. And that's the key thing that we're focusing on is having that functionality, making sure we're preserving that principal, using the right strategies, but also being able to deploy that money when needed into the right area, or looking at what other opportunities are out there to invest money to where you can get a higher yield and maybe for the same principal preservation, or maybe you're taking a little bit more risk and you can get a higher return on that money. But it's all about having a purpose and having your money allocated and earmarked to specific buckets for different types of plans, different strategies, where you're looking for different outcomes. Because we want to make sure you have your money situated in a now bucket where you have money for planned expenses, emergency funds. Whenever, things happen, an air conditioner will go out. You might need a new roof. Let's say, okay, we're out of hurricane season. Knock on wood, we shouldn't have any issues, obviously. But like going into next year, we don't know how the weather's going to change, what's going to happen with the temperature of the Gulf, what's going to come in from the Caribbean. But having money available in the event you need to replace a roof, we got to have to make sure you have the necessary money. But also, you worked hard all these years. You're retiring. You're planning on enjoying retirement. A lot of people plan on traveling. So we want to make sure we're earmarking money for travel, for maybe projects, whether you plan on remodeling your kitchen, updating your flower bed, painting your house. Like I was painting baseboards this weekend. There's always something going on. So there's lots of opportunity. It's about writing down a goal list of things that you want to do, have a bucket list of all these different dreams, and figure, okay, when can we do it? What time frame? Who do we want to bring? Do we want to go with our kids? Do we want to go maybe with our siblings? Maybe you have a travel buddy, maybe someone that, one of your best friends, and they love to go on cruises, or maybe they want to go fly to different destinations. Everybody has a different thing that they want to do, but put your goals down, put your dreams down, and look at, okay, how much do you need? Do you have enough money earmarked for it? And then how to build a plan. Maybe you're 5-10 years away from retirement and you're thinking about all these things, like, how can I conquer all these different dreams? Look at whenever there was a movie, I forgot the name of it, maybe it was called Bucket List, with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. That was such a cool movie. Granted, Jack Nicholson was he owned a hospital, like some kind of nursing home facility. No, it was a hospital, and he was loaded. And Morgan Freeman was, he had cancer as well. He was a mechanic at an auto place. And so, he found out he was sick, and then he was in the same room as Jack Nicholson, the hospital owner. And then they became friends. And next thing you know, They get on Jack's private jet. Now, look, not everybody's in that situation, obviously, but, you know, they got to, like, mark off all the things that they want to do where, you know, they think it's majestic. They think it's you know, thrill-seeking, so many different adventures because, look, we only have this one life to live. And so, you know, if you have the feasibility, the affordability to go out and see the world, go do it. I mean, there's things that I – so many things that I want to do even while I'm young, not just to wait to when I'm retired, but it's a matter of earmarking money, put in the right places, and have everything planned out.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.